All right, let's get it going. Welcome back, boys and girls. This is In the Jar. I'm gonna get some new music. I just like this though, you know what I mean? We're gonna do a really quick episode today. I am late as all heck. It's 4:47 p.m. local time here, so it's probably getting close to 8 o'clock on the East Coast. And quite frankly, we've got some snoozers this weekend in the NFL. Got a division matchup kicking off here probably in the next 30 minutes between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. Here in Glendale, Arizona, game's gonna kick off about 20-minute drive from where I sit. And it's just something that's not... I've just never really been intrigued by the Arizona Cardinals ever since I've been here. I've said it before on the show. I won't go to a Cardinals game unless the ticket is free. I'm not going to pay for a ticket to a Cardinals game. And this will be a big test for these Cardinals today. James Conner, starting running back, out for the season. I forget what kind of injury he got on Sunday. It'll be a big test. I don't know who their backup running back is. I know last year they had a player named Dortch. I don't know who the backup running back is for Arizona. But that game's unfolding about 20 minutes from here. Like I said, interesting one to go to, right? Thursday Night Football. I'm actually going to head to the dojo here probably in, well, let's think, about 22 minutes. This is going to be a very short episode. And then tomorrow, and I'll wait for everyone to file in, and I'll probably say this again, but tomorrow there will be no show. I am heading to Oxford, Mississippi for the Ole Miss LSU game. If you want some clips, we just made some clips, a bunch of them, around that game on the channel here. So that's what we got going on. I will post about it in the YouTube community. I'll probably post about it wherever people that follow the show are to let you guys know that we're not having a show tomorrow. I'm really glad that we're having a show today. Quite frankly, I woke up this morning, felt like shit, felt terrible, and so I'm glad we made it here today. It's going to be a really short episode. There are a couple storylines that I thought would be good to touch on, so we'll get right into it for the sake of time. Urban Meyer went on the Triple Option podcast. This podcast has got Mark Ingram on it. Seems like an interesting listen. I hadn't heard about it before I read this article, but Urban Meyer went on the Triple Option podcast and chatted about... Thank you, Harshit. Appreciate it. Urban Meyer went on the Triple Option podcast with Mark Ingram and a few others and talked about the state of the University of Florida football program under Billy Napier. And there were a couple of subliminal messages in there. I think that what Urban Meyer was saying about the University of Florida might be a bit of a subliminal call to the school's athletic program and saying, hey, I'm back healthy again. Let me coach this program once more. He talked about his programs at Florida and how they didn't accept mediocrity. Or at Ohio State, they didn't accept mediocrity. He even said, if you feel like you can't measure up to this standard, I'll sign your transfer papers. We'll help get you somewhere else. But we do not accept mediocrity. And I've actually heard stories from my friends who were some of my older friends who were recruited by him telling a similar story. The guy's just brutally hard on guys. brutally hard on people. And you watch that documentary on Netflix, Swamp Kings, and you got all these guys from the University of Florida football program talking about how they would just pound other teams. And no one and everyone in the locker room is pissed off after the game because they feel like they could have been better. It's a similar type of vibe to when you see those videos from Alabama's sideline, Nick Saban's just absolutely jacking someone's shit, and you look at the scoreboard and Bama's up like 58-6. It's the same type of mentality. And so you see this commonality in all the great programs in college football recent history. You see this commonality of nothing being good enough. Never rest on your laurels. Hell, I remember hearing that Urban Meyer, back when Joe Burrow was at Ohio State, told Joe Burrow that he wasn't even good enough to be a D3 quarterback. My buddy I mentioned a second ago, he was a 4- or 5-star recruit, and Urban Meyer sat him down in his office when he came to camp in Columbus and told my buddy, who was a 4-star, maybe 5, he said, "You're not good enough to play here. Prove me wrong." At what point does that mentality become toxic? We know that Urban Meyer had health problems due to the stress from coaching. I don't care what anybody says. I was a part of a college football program. I wasn't a part of a program at the scale of the University of Florida, especially when they were in their prime. But I was a part of a college football program, and I saw the stress that these coaches are under. And it makes sense, because as a coach, you really can only do so much. You can scheme up the perfect wizardry in terms of the playbook, in terms of the plays you're calling. But if a guy goes out there and just doesn't make a tackle, or just doesn't catch the football, or just doesn't make the right throws, it don't matter. We talked about it yesterday on the show with Mike Gundy, you know, and him getting fired from Oklahoma State. They got $10 million when everybody else has got 30 or 40 million. You can't get the right personnel in place, and it doesn't matter what you dial up if the guys out there can't execute. And so that's what makes coaching such a stressful profession. And it's ridiculous because it's a game, right? But I'd argue, based on what I've seen in my personal experience, the people I've known that were the most chronically stressed out to an unhealthy magnitude were college football coaches and NFL coaches. Urban Meyer looks healthy. He looks like he's ready to maybe dip his toe back in. And he's definitely the type of guy that loves football so much that he's like, "I'm ready to get hurt again." And so you look at this triple option podcast he went on with Mark Ingram. It kind of seemed to me like Urban Meyer was sending a bit of a subliminal message to the University of Florida, saying, "Hey, this guy he wasn't sticking up for Billy Napier either, the current head coach at Florida. He wasn't sticking up for him. He was saying, look, with my programs, we did not accept fucking mediocrity. We did not accept this shit. And Florida is in a place where they're looking pretty mediocre. Their quarterback's looking pretty bad. I'm pretty sure DJ Lagway is averaging like 2.7 yards per passing attempt right now on the season. Really bad. And granted, they played the Miami Hurricanes very tough last week. Miami kind of opened up a can of whoop-ass late in the game. They played LSU pretty tough, but I would argue that LSU offensively played like shit against Florida. And you got a gauntlet of games for Florida coming down the stretch. I think they got like 7 or 8 ranked opponents, right? I don't know, top 25. I don't know if they're all top 10. A lot of them are, though. And so you look at that gauntlet of the schedule, and you look at how the way Florida's played so far. Florida had really high expectations going into the season, especially with DJ Lagway, the quarterback, and he's just kind of played like shit. So you ask yourself, is it the expectations? Are kids these days in college football just not as mentally tough as they used to be? Is Florida just kind of a pretender program these days? And do they need to go ahead and just get rid of Billy Napier? And maybe they bring someone like Urban Meyer back. You know, I think that's, frankly, like, I haven't always agreed with the way Urban Meyer's treated people. Again, friends of mine that were recruited by him, people that I know are familiar with the insiders in college football, they all kind of say Urban Meyer is kind of a dick. He's kind of an asshole. But there's a reason he had the success he had at Florida in the, you know, in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, and beyond. There's a reason. And it might not be healthy, but it works. And the results are what they are. And so Urban Meyer on this Triple Option podcast, he was saying, this is what we did at my programs. And I don't, he didn't say this, but this is what I deducted from it. It's like, I don't really see that same thing going on today at Florida that I did with my programs. And it seemed like a bit of a subliminal call out to the University of Florida to say, I'll come back if you got to fire Billy Napier, I'll come back. There's no friends in this game. There's no friends in the coaching game, because the guy that's been your friend forever, I'm not saying Urban Meyer and Billy Napier are friends. I'm just saying this is a cutthroat competitors game, college football and pro football, where there's not really real friends. It's like, you know that your right-hand man in coaching is going to take your job at a second's notice if he gets the chance to. He's going to take your job at a second's notice. So I just thought it was very interesting. I also think it's interesting that the University of Florida, since Urban Meyer, has gone through five different coaches, head coaches. They have not had even close to the level of success that they had when Urban Meyer was there. And again, I think Urban Meyer can be a bit toxic from what I understand. But to an extent, does that toxicity fuel greatness in a football program? The results say it does. I think it's an interesting way to go about it. And I think kids these days probably need a coach like Urban Meyer. They need to hear that harsh, nasty reality sometimes, even if it's a little toxic in the moment. I always think about how someone like Nick Saban juggles never being satisfied with why you do this to begin with. Like, why do you seek out to achieve greatness in football or any other endeavor? Why do you seek out greatness? It's so that you can one day enjoy the fruits of your labor. And I guess it's knowing that I laid it out all on the line and I did everything I could to achieve my fullest human potential. I don't know. It's just an interesting little deal with college coaches these days. They seem to have a bit of a different mentality. And it seems like Urban Meyer might be eyeing that Florida job, might be eyeing a return to Florida, because let's face it, Billy Napier, the head coach of Florida right now, I think he's probably going to lose his job some point this season. They have not started out fast enough, and they absolutely have needed to start out fast, because Florida is facing a gauntlet schedule down the stretch. A gauntlet schedule. They'll probably beat Kentucky, you know. They might squeak out a couple other wins, but I think they got I can't remember who they got. I saw the schedule the other day. I know Texas A&M's in there. They're really good. I think they play Bama. No. I don't know. I know they play Georgia. Tennessee, I would guess. Anyway, Florida's got a gauntlet going down the stretch. I'm not going to Google their schedule or anything right now. But Billy Napier, I believe, is going to get fired at some point during the season. I was thinking about Desmond Watson, the 470-pound defensive lineman that went through camp with the Bucks but didn't. They just had the guy walk in laps around the practice field all camp, see if he could get his weight down. And I was thinking about this. I was like, don't you think the University of Florida football program failed this guy a little bit by not having him ready to participate in the NFL camp? Is that their job, though? I think it should be. There's a couple different schools of thoughts on, you know, with coaches about some of them. Like, my high school coach was like this. My high school coach had the mentality, my job is to win football games here. And whatever happens for my kids at the next level, you know, that's kind of on them. Right, so you have some coaches that fall into that camp. My job is to win games. And then there's other coaches. Take John Calipari in college basketball, for example. For the longest time, he was arguing, my job is to help my kids be as ready for the next level as possible and get paid and make a good life for themselves. And I think Nick Saban was kind of a happy medium there because he obviously had more first rounders probably than any college coach in history in the NFL draft. So that's interesting to think about. You have a big guy in Desmond Watson, a gap plugger, a tush push stopper, if you will, at Florida. And he was a good player there. He's making plays. And so the Florida program might have thought, hey, we like him at this weight. I know even at my small little Division I Samford University back when I was there, we had guys that were overweight. You would go to the weight room in the morning if you were overweight. I never was. But you'd have guys who would go to the weight room in the morning if they were overweight to get treatment. And then you'd go on the Stairmaster, and however many pounds overweight you were, that's a couple minutes on the Stairmaster each. So if you're hella overweight, you know, you got to go into the facility every day and spend some fucking time on that Stairmaster. So I'm shocked at a big program with all those resources, all those coaches, all those trainers at the University of Florida, that they didn't take a guy like 470-pound Desmond Watson and say, hey, we know you're making great plays out on the field still. We want you to be ready for the NFL, so we're going to put you on a weight loss program during the season. We don't give a fuck how you feel about it. You're going to drop some weight so that when it's time for you to go and be in an NFL training camp, that you're not walking laps around the field the whole training camp and you're actually participating and getting a chance to make the team. Now, Tampa Bay brought Desmond Watson back after cutting him onto the practice squad. It seems like they believe in him. And you watch the film when he was in college. He is a great player. He's just too fat. He's too fat. And a guy like that, you know, they probably become pretty conditioned, pretty dialed in to eat in a certain way. And so now you got to unlearn all that. You got to get rid of all that conditioning and say, this is how we're living now. So I think the University of Florida kind of failed him a little bit. I fall under the thought process, if you're a coach and you're running a program in high school and college, yes, obviously your main job is to win games. But I do believe a large part of your job description is also to get guys ready for the next level. Because that's a big indicator of success. You can look at the wins and losses records. You can look at championships. Those are obviously what reigns supreme when you look at success for a coach. But you also have to look at how willing are you to make sure that your kids are ready for the next level so that they can have a better life for themselves via playing this game. I don't really agree with coaches that have the mentality of like, it's not my job to get them ready for the next level. My job's to win games. I don't agree with that attitude. Okay. I told you guys it was going to be a short episode. I'm going to cut it there. Cardinals Seahawks is probably starting right now, so I'll give you guys a chance to tune into that. I'm not going to be watching it. I'm going to head over to the dojo, do some no-gi jiu-jitsu, and then knock out a podcast with my professor, Mr. Tim Welch. So that's what's on the docket for me tonight, and then I'm flying out to Memphis at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning, and my little cousin who goes to Ole Miss is going to come pick me up. I'm going to spend a weekend as a college kid in Oxford, Mississippi, and go to this Ole Miss LSU game on Saturday. I'm pretty fired up. So no show tomorrow. No Madden stream today. I was too late, and that's on me. But we will be back on here, and I'll post some clips from this show that you're watching right now. We're staying dialed in, ladies and gentlemen. But no Madden stream today, no show tomorrow, and obviously no Madden stream tomorrow. And then we'll be back strong, ready to go Monday, ready to fuck. We're holding our nuts. You know, we stab a couple homeless people if we have to. We grab our nuts. It's fucking America. Let's have a hell of a weekend. Let's have a hell of a week. I'll post about it in the YouTube community. I'll make sure everybody knows not to expect a show tomorrow because I'll be traveling. But we'll be back Monday ready to recap all the college football games, all the NFL games, and kind of take it from there. So appreciate you guys being patient with me. Sorry for the short show today. It's just kind of how life unfolded, and I'm just happy to be here with you guys. So hopefully you guys got a little bit of value out of this show today. Couple topics that I was interested in touching on. So with that, I'm going to leave you guys. But if you're watching this and you're not subscribed to the channel, listen, I imagine you probably love football if you're watching this stream right now. And if you love football, you're going to adore our channel. And we're the fastest growing football channel on the YouTube. We're the fastest growing football show in the land. You can listen to us on any audio platform. We update the show daily in that capacity. And we also go live on Madden streams a lot of the time. We won't be today, won't be tomorrow, but Monday through Friday, you can expect our show to be on here every day. You can expect our Madden streams to be on here every day. Obviously, special cases will let you know in advance as far as we can. All right. Love you guys so much. Appreciate you. This has been today's show. Sorry for it being short, but that's just how we roll. That's just how we had to roll today. Holler at the boy. Thank you so much.